أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. We were discussing Surah Al-Qalam. At the beginning of the Surah, we heard about the accusation that they made against the Prophet that he was a crazy man, talking about these sort of concepts about God and the hereafter. And then, of course, God says that soon they will know which one of them, you or them, are stricken by madness. And then the injunction comes to the Prophet that those who deny, you should not follow them. And despite the fact that they are accusing you of being crazy or madman or something like that because you talk bad about their gods, they would like to make a compromise with you. Now, this is against what they said before, that he's a crazy man. They would like to make a compromise. They would like to somehow you be a bit lenient so that they show leniency towards you as well, and you would have a sort of in-between settlements, worshipping one God only and worshipping the idols. So verse number 9 is alluding to this fact. What do لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They are eager that you should be pliable, you should be lenient, so that they may be pliable towards you as well. Just a bit of mixture of ideas they want. They don't want to completely abandon what they worship, but they see the force in your call. They see that people are attracted. So they want to make an in-between settlement. However, of course, the Prophet is advised in other places as well that there is no compromise in faith. When it comes to faith, when it comes to worshipping Allah, there is no compromise. And we have in Surah Isra, this very admonishing sort of statement towards the address to the Prophet, وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لتفتري علينا غيره وإذا لاتخذوك خليلا. They were trying hard to somehow make you swerve a little bit from what we are really revealing to you, so that you allege something against us that we have not revealed to you. Then they would have taken you as a friend. And had you done that, of course, we had somehow made you firm on your position by this revelation. وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَغَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. Had we not made you firm, had we not established you in this faith, you would have, if you were an ordinary human being, you would have, of course, tend to go towards them. Had you done that, لَإِذَنْ لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ذِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَذِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ. Twice in this world, twice in next world, twice anyone that we will punish would have punished you. Because, you know, when a leader swears a little bit, if the leader is not firm in his position, anyone who goes after, because we are all following the Prophet, peace be upon him, whatever we do is based on the teachings of the Prophet. We hope so. We try to do that. Now, just imagine if the Prophet somehow slips a little bit, diverts a little bit. He would divert everyone. And that is why, of course, the punishment is grave for you. Had you done that? Of course, this is not you doing it. But what about other leaders of faith if they do that? I told last week that most of the addresses which are addressed to the Prophet, statements addressed to the Prophet, are actually meant for others. There is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq who said that the Quran is revealed based on this parable. Iyaka a'ni wasma ya jara. I'm talking to you, but I want your neighbor to hear. So, if, for example, a companion of the Prophet, just imagine, if a companion of the Prophet who is well obeyed by others, who has a position, if after the Prophet, that companion comes and somehow slips or swerves, diverts a little bit from the right path, then what would be the fate of all those who are going to follow later on? And what would be the punishment for that companion of the Prophet? What is the punishment for those followers of Jesus, peace be upon him, for example, who diverted, they tried to make a compromise between the idea of Tawheed and the idea of Tathlis, Trinity, which was widespread in the world, in Egypt, in Greece, in Rome. This idea of Trinity was very widely accepted. Now, they just wanted to make a compromise between the two. Okay, Jesus is, you believe in Son of God. Okay, Jesus is Son of God. Just this very small sort of leniency. You see what difference would it make and where it takes the religion. Now, in Islam, of course, we have had probably similar things as well. So, leniency, pliability, compromise is good sometimes in tactics, in methods, in communication, but not in the main ideas and concepts of faith. And we have to be careful even today. I mean, sometimes we are compromising on many things which are in the past seem to not be compromisable at all, because we just want to somehow bring closer the values which are not actually possible to live together. Anyhow, despite them accusing you of being crazy, they like to make a compromise with you. What do لَوْ تُتْهَنُوا فَيُتْهَنُونَ. But I warn you, وَلَا تُتْهَ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. Who are those who want to make a compromise with you? Let me describe them. And then you see if it is good for you to make a compromise with them. Now, who are they? 9 different attributes are mentioned here, sort of the most evil traits of character, which are all combined together in the enemies of the Prophet at a time of revelation. Now, some people say that all these traits are about one man, Walid ibn Mughayra, who was the main enemy of the Prophet, very educated, well-cultured, well-spoken, and he tried actually to make this compromise between the faith of idolatry and Tawheed. Others say, no, this is general, about those who were opposing the Prophet, calling him to be crazy, calling him not following standards of morality. And of course, Allah says, you are innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Now compare this to these people. Who are they? Wala tuti, do not obey. Do not listen to these people. Hal kull halafim mahin, any vile swearer. Halaf is someone who swears a lot. And someone who swears a lot, say, for example, imagine someone always swears by Allah. Wallah, I did that. Wallah, I do that. Or wallah, I'm going to do this. Now, this person has no respect for Allah at all. All the time, invoking Allah for the smallest and most trivial things, that means they have no respect for Allah. Now, whether this is swear or oath is by Allah or by any other thing, it means that there is no respect at all. It's just a means, a convenience for people to somehow push forward their ideals. So halaf is a sort of attribute, is a trait which is condemned in everyone, in a Muslim, non-Muslim, if someone is halaf. Especially in those days, these Arabs who were against the prophets, they sweared, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ. They sweared very strongly and emphatically, for example, for everything. لَا يَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ. That Allah would not raise the dead. Now, how do you know? How do you know that you swear about it? You say, okay, I do not believe in it, but how can you swear on something that you are, you have no knowledge of? And sometimes these people, of course, some people are so careful about not swearing at all. And this is very important. Especially we Muslims are advised not to swear by Allah, especially, except for very exceptional cases when we are testifying or something. Even we have in our narrations that it is not good to swear by Allah even if you want to revive your own rights. For example, someone has taken your rights and you want to go to the court and they ask you, swear by Allah that you are right. It is said that although you may lose your rights, you may lose what belongs to you, but it is better not to swear by Allah, because Allah should not be brought down for these things. It's for very, of course, exceptional cases. If it is the right of other people, of course, you swear by Allah. But they say, you better forego your own rights and not swear by Allah. Now imagine people who all the time swear, just bring Allah as a وَلَا تَجْعَلُ اللَّهَ, as we have in Surah Nahl, وَلَا تَجْعَلُ اللَّهَ أُرَّةً لَأَيْمَانَكُمْ. Do not make Allah a means, a target for your swears. Allah is, of course, much more respectable than this. مَهِين, مَهِين is contemptible. And in the meaning of Mahin, they have said someone who's contemptible in his views, ideas, someone who's very vile when he thinks about anything. So these are the two qualities that Allah says about these enemies, that you should not obey them. فَلَا تُتَكُلْ لَحَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ Hammazin Masha'in Binamim. Hammaz is translated here as scandalmonger. Scandalmonger, Hammaz is someone who all the time seeks something who could condemn in others. Some fault, something, for example, wrong in someone, finds it, somehow magnifies it, and brings it to other people's attention. This is Hammaz. As we have in Surah Humaza, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to anyone who is like this, who finds faults in others. Finding faults in ourselves is very good. We have to find the faults of the whole world in ourselves, because we do have them. But finding faults in others is, of course, this Hammaz. Hammazin Masha'in Bina. Masha means someone who walks, of course. Masha, someone who walks. Masha'in binami namima is to take people's secrets to others. So masha'in binami means someone who is tale bearer, takes people's secrets, people's talks to others to create conflict and tension between people. Now it's amazing that all these sort of attributes and qualities are put together in one person, or in those enemies of the Prophet who were accusing him of being crazy. So this is four up till now. فَلَا تُتَعْكُ لَحَلَّافًا, swearer, مَهِين, vile and mean in his ideas, حَمَّازًا, scandal monger, مَشَّاءً بِنَمِيمٍ, tale bearer. And then what? Manna'an lil khair, hinderer of all good. When they have good, they want it only for themselves. They don't want to give to anyone. And even if others try to help, they actually ridicule them, that why you are helping other people. I mean, you have to just have everything for you. It is you who are important, not others. One may think, is there anyone in the world who's like that? Well, apparently there are many people who are like that. This sort of greed, which is in human being, leads us to this, of course, ultimate situation. In another chapter, we have إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Man is created greedy. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Man is created greedy. When he has khair, he takes everything for themselves, prevent others to benefit. And when shar comes to him, when things unpleasant, then he starts to moan. He's a moaner. Now, one question here. Here Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Man is made, is created greedy. And the greed is like this. When you have, you keep for yourself. When you don't have, you want from others by moaning and by lamenting and such things. You want to others to help you. Now, this is the meaning of greed. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Now, the question is, God, you have created us like this, so why do you condemn us? He says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Man is created greedy. Now, the answer is in the verse which follows. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except those who pray. Except those who pray. And then follows many other sort of qualities which prevents human beings from putting this greed into action. Why this greed is there? This greed is initially not greed. It is the longing for perfection. This is put in every human being, eagerness for perfection. We want everything good for ourselves. And God has placed this in us because ultimate perfection is closeness to God, is paradise. And by that we seek paradise, we seek closeness to God. Now, if we forget about this, only pay our attention to this world and dunya, then that longing for perfection is turned into greed. And that is why Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلَقَ هَلُوعًا. Man is created greedy. So here, مَنَّعٌ لِلْخَيْرِ, who prevents all good from others because of that greed which they have. مُؤْتَدًا, transgresses every standard of morality. And this is really for those enemies of the Prophet. You could see this in their record of behavior. مُؤْتَدًا أَثِيم. أَثِيم is someone, أَثْم is of course sin. But أَثِيم is not someone who just sins. أَثِيم is someone who's very outstanding in sinning. That breaks all the barriers, as unfortunately in our modern life we see that some people are really trying to break all the barriers of morality just because they like it. So here a theme is someone who breaks all the barriers and is outstanding in sinning. And then utullen. Utullen. Utul is callous, rash, violent. And I can now imagine this Walid ibn Mughira in my mind, what sort of person he was. If this is about Walid ibn Mughira, who was actually directing that accusation of madness to the Prophet. Utul is callous, violent. And after all these, ba'da dhalika, Zanim. Zanim has different meanings. Some say it means base-born. It means born of legitimate relationship. But the most outstanding meaning of Zanim is someone who opposes violently anything which is good, is the meaning of zani. And of course, other meanings can come into this this one very universal and general meaning. Now, why you want to obey him? Of course, if you imagine someone is like this, is halafen, mahin, hammazen, masha'en, benamim, otullen, ba'da dhalika zanim. All these nine qualities. Now, you may think, why someone wants to follow this person? Why someone wants to obey this person? Now, because an kana dha malin wa banin, that he is because he has wealth and children. Because he has wealth and children, you ignore all those things, all those callous behavior, all those mean and vile traits, and you just, because of money, because of children, you give them high position, you give them high profile. As I said, the Quran is revealed after the example, Iyaka a'ni wasma'i ya jar. I'm talking to you, but I want your neighbor to hear, to listen. Now, he's talking to us, isn't it? Of course, the Prophet never would do that. Why should we give respect to people of bad traits, of evil behavior, because they are wealthy, because they have power? Banin is, of course, sign of power. Mal is sign of wealth, because they are wealthy and powerful. Why should you follow them despite all those qualities? And, of course, because of all those qualities, and despite whatever I have given them, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When our signs are recited to him, he says, this is myths of the ancients. As I said, this myths of the ancients, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ, early human beings, like, for example, the people of Nuh and people of Hud and Samud, they also, whenever they received this message, they said, this is myths of the ancients. They didn't know. They had no knowledge. They were ignorant. Now we have science, we have knowledge, we have power, we have wealth. Those people who were afraid of everything around them, you hear sometimes that's why people believe in God, for example, are afraid of everything around them. They cannot protect themselves. Now we can protect ourselves. We have knowledge. We have power. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. They say, who's more powerful than us? As with regards to Ad, who's more powerful than us? And for these reasons, they say, all these are قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. These are the myths of the primates, people who were living as primates, so to speak. They believed in such things. Now, what am I going to do with this man, with this person? I have given him wealth. I have given him power. I have given him repute. Look how does he behave. And look how, when my message comes to him, how does he treat it? This is myth of the ancients. We don't believe in such things. Now, what I'm going to do with him? سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. Soon, we shall brand him on the snout. Snout is, of course, the nose, but khurtum is usually the trunk or snout of elephant or pig. And this is a sort of very pejorative term used for him, that I don't regard him as a human being. I will mark him, I will brand him soon on his snout. Now, what does this mean? Some say that this سَنَسَمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْتُومِ, we shall brand him on the snout, refers to what happens to them later. They will become so infamous. They will become, their repute will become so vile and evil among people, that it is as if I have marked them on their nose. Even if not in their lifetime. Now you can imagine Like, for example, people like Yazid, people like Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, they are really marked on their nose, isn't it? They are marked, people curse them, they don't want even to name their children after them because of what they have done. And people like Walid ibn Mughira, like Abu Jahl, like others, they are marked on their nose. That means, well, marked on their nose, that means they have found their own ill repute. I will give them that ill repute. And this has happened, of course, during their lifetime and afterwards. But most of the exegetes say that this, of course, may be true about this world, but this is mainly about the next world. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ The criminals on that day will be known by their marks. By their marks. As, for example, for the believers, even in this world, Allah says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ Because of the sujood that they do all the time, their mark is on their faces. They are branded on their faces as people know them. Know them, of course, people of faith know each other. Not, I mean the sort of mark which is made artificially on the forehead. No, there is a light coming that people would know this is a real believer. Now, in the hereafter is the same thing. There are faces which are shining on that day because of faith. There are faces which are dark and they have signs on it. And on the nose means that this sign cannot be covered, because if they want to cover it, they have to cover their eyes as well. So they cannot cover it, or they have to cover their face completely. A mark which they cannot cover. And this will happen after the resurrection day. When people are resurrected, they are resurrected with their marks on their faces. The believers, disbelievers, and based on, of course, depending on how evil or how good people are, the faces would change. And although we recognize each other, يَتَعَارَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ as we have in the verse, they recognize each other. When they are resurrected, they recognize each other. However, the faces are very different. Despite all that difference, those differences are like marks on the faces. So I'm going to do سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُمِ Then Allah gives a story, and this story is very important in our life now. Very important. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ Indeed, we have tested them just as we tested the people of the garden. Now, who are these people of the garden? And what is the relation between them and the situation of these people in Mecca, like Abu Jahl and Walid ibn Mughira and Utbah and others? What is the relationship? Okay, what is the story of this Ashabul Jannah? This is a true story. Allah is not mentioning to which people this story refers. But we have in tradition that this garden, Ashabul Jannah, people of the garden, this was a garden in Yemen, probably, although other places are mentioned as well, which belonged to a very pious man. This pious man, whenever it was the time of harvest, he called many people to come and help to pick the fruits. And also the poor people came. They knew that when the fruits of this garden is picked, this man was very generous, would give to others. He kept for himself some lots, but of course he gave a bigger lot to the poor. Now, he had five sons, and these sons were very unhappy. Why our father is mad? He is just giving away whatever we have actually produced. We have put lots of effort in this garden, and now our father is just giving away the fruits of our efforts and our endeavor. This man passed away, and these five sons, they said, now, okay, this garden belongs to us, and we can do whatever we want. So from next harvest day, next harvest time, when we go to pick the fruits, we do not allow anyone to come. We do it ourselves. And we do not allow anyone. We don't give anything to anyone. We keep everything for ourselves. There was one which apparently was the youngest, but the wisest. As is always the case in the story, isn't it? The youngest is the wisest. Now, the youngest and the wisest said, no, don't do this. Don't stop following the procedure of our father. Because then God would deprive us of this blessing that he has given us. In the traditions that they were very harsh to him, even they started to beat him for what he said, and he kept quiet. Okay. Now, these people, إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا. Now, the story is said here like this. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ. When they vowed they would gather his fruit at dawn. Very early in the morning they go, in a way that no one would realize, so that when they come later in the day, they find that everything is finished. They don't give anything to the poor. لَيَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. And they did not make any exception. Now, they did not make any exception may have two meanings. One is that they did not make any exception excluding something of what they had for the poor, to give to the poor. Or most of the exegetes say that, no, they did not say, if God wishes. They did not say, inshallah. They believed in God, but they thought that now that we have power, now that we have wealth, what do we need God for? So let's go and do it, la yastathnun. And, of course, probably because God loved their father, wanted to teach them a lesson. If God did not love their father, he would have left them to do whatever they wanted. But now God wanted to be kind to them. Now, listen, this is very important. The conclusion of this story is very, very important. It is a general conclusion that we can always draw upon. Now, فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكْ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Then a visitation from your Lord visited it while they were asleep. Exactly on the night when in the morning of it they wanted to go and just have the fruits picked, Ta'if is something which comes at night. Bad or good, usually it's used for bad things. So something at night came from your Lord. That was, of course, a punishment from your Lord. Visited while they, fatafa alayha, visited their garden, alayha, their garden, their jannah. Fa'asbahat kasareem. Sareem is a garden which all the fruits of it are picked already. So it became like a harvested field, like a garden, the fruits of which are all completely picked. No fruit, nothing. And Sareem also means just a barren land, means a dark place, a sort of burnt area is called Sareem as well. Apparently, this was something which burned the trees as well. So it was just like a burned place. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالسَّرِيمِ فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ. Now, they were of course unaware because the garden was far away. They were living in the village. The garden was far away. In the morning, they used to live in different houses or different rooms probably. So they went to call each other in the morning. فَتَنَادَوْ مصبحين أنغدو على حرثكم إن كنتم صارمين. Get off early to your field if you have to gather the fruits. So they called each other. Okay, they gathered, five of them. فانطلقوا. They went. وهم يتخافتون. They did not speak loud so that no one would notice. They were whispering to each other. وهم يتخافتون. Murmuring to one another, أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. Today, no poor should enter this garden of yours. They set out early morning. So today no needy man shall come to you in it. وَغَدَوْ عَلَىٰ حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ. So they set out early in the morning. غَدَوْ غَدَى means set early in the morning, set out. عَلَىٰ حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ, able to prevent. Apparently they had arms and such things, or maybe they had cold guards or something, that no one should get close to this garden. Because they saw that in time of their father, the bigger chunk of this garden would go to the poor. Why should we allow them? Yes, they were quite able, capable to prevent people to come. Now, they arrived. They arrived in the place. Where is this? فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَظَالُونَ. When they saw it, they said, indeed, we have lost our way. This is not our garden. We have come wrong. Then when they looked at its environment, surroundings, بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. No, this is our garden. Woe to us. We are deprived. Everything is burnt and gone. بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. قال أوسطهم. Now the son, the wisest son. قال أوسط doesn't mean here the middle in, of course, in behavior, in thinking, not the middle in age. قال أوسطهم ألم أقول لكم لولا تسبحون. The moderates among them said, did I not tell you, why do you not glorify the Lord? لولا تسبحون. قالوا سبحان ربنا. They said, immaculate is our Lord. We have indeed been wrongless. Now, one question here. Okay, let me finish the story and then I come back to this story of tasbih. What is tasbih? What does tasbih got to do with this whole issue? That you did not do tasbih. You were not musabbihun. That is why this has come to you. What is it to do with that? I will come to it later. Let me finish the story. قالوا سبحان ربنا إنا كنا ظالمين. They said, immaculate is our Lord. We have indeed been wrongdoers. In abandoning the way of our father and in trying to prevent the poor to come to this garden, فأقبل بعضهم على بعض يتلاومون. Then they turned to one another, blaming each other. You said to do it. You made me to do it. They started to blame each other. Of course, apart from that middle one, the moderate one. قالوا يا ويلنا إنا كنا طاغين. They said, woe to us, indeed we have been rebellious. Now again, rebellion. What is the relationship between rebellion and what they did? So have these two. Maybe we wouldn't have time for treating that today. What's the relationship of tasbih to all this story? And what's the relationship of tughyan, transgression here, rebellion? Now, then they said, we repent now. We regret, we repent. Asa rabbuna an yubdilana khayran minha. Maybe our Lord will give us a better one in his place. إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ. Indeed, we turn earnestly to our Lord. Now, these people repented. I said, Allah loved their father because of what they actually realized later on. I mean, this was more important than their garden, isn't it? This regret, this realization was more important than the garden, whatever wealth was on the earth, because everything would perish. But this would remain for them. That's why I said probably God loved their father that did this to them. Now, the conclusion, and then the relationship between this story and the people of Mecca, because this story is brought to their attention. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. We have tested them the way we have been tested أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, the people of this God. Okay? Now, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابُ. كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابُ means الْعَذَابُ كَذَلِكَ. Punishment is like this. وَالْعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the punishment of the hereafter is surely greater had they known. Now, we leave, first of all, their repentance, then the relationship between Toghyan and what rebellion and what happened, and thirdly, the relationship between Tasbih and what happened for next week. But here, there's one very important thing. Punishment is like this. Now, really, punishment is for this. Punishment is to bring you back to your nature. Punishment is to give you a sort of shock. That's, come back, come to your mind. You crazy people, come back to your mind. What are you doing? Punishment is like this. And the punishment of the hereafter is like this as well, but is bigger. Okay, we leave this as well. That, what is the purpose of this punishment? What happened by this punishment? What was restored? And sometimes things cannot be restored because of course, the immensely evil nature of the people. However, the whole purpose of adab and punishment is this. What they lost as their garden and harvest or whatever, it was just like a burnt ground. What they lost was trivial compared to what they gained. This connection to God, returning to Him, because that is eternal, that is everlasting. Now, is this going to be the case in Akhirah as well? And in Akhirah, the punishment is greater because realization is slower, maybe. In this life, realization may be quicker. But in Akhirah, realization, because our nature, our fitrah, is shaped, is molded in a way which is very difficult to change it. And that's why in Akhirah, it needs greater adab, greater punishment to restore. But here, of course, just this one small thing, small hint, it was nothing, it was a garden. Just how many gardens from the beginning of this world up till now have been destroyed, burnt, ruined? Wow, I mean, that was nothing. But the fact that these four brothers, of course, one of them was good, but the four brothers were retrieved. They went back. That was important. But it was painful. It was painful, isn't it? Now, things come to us in this world which is very painful. We don't like them. We complain, we object to God. But of course, God knows what He is doing all the time. Now, for next week, inshallah, as I said, Tasbih, Toghyan, and the relationship between this story and the people of Mecca, inshallah, we explore that next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد صلوا عليه يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه. Allah.
تنازل زوجاني على